Before I forget, a couple practical things I was asked to announce. First of all, the marriage weekend coming up in just a few weeks, January 4th, 5th. Dr. Mario is really, really good with counseling for couples. He has some very practical advice he's learned. And the deadline to register for that is actually tomorrow. So if you're interested or if you know somebody who might benefit, please give us a call tomorrow to get on this. And husbands, if you're tired of your wife always being right, you're going to pay this guy to tell her that there are moments when she's wrong. And that can also often be a good thing. Just kidding. Also, the tickets are still available in the office for the performance of the play Garden, which is uptown at Ursuline Academy's auditorium, January 17, 18, 19, and 20, I think. But I highly recommend it. It's a really powerful performance with awesome music. And look into it if you can, or if you know a friend who might want to go. And lastly, for PSR and CCD, we're looking for a couple more substitutes, especially right now. We've got a couple teachers or facilitators who are going to kind of step away for a moment. So we're looking for substitutes. So if anybody's interested, just leave a message in the office so we can get in touch. It's just a substitute, no pressure. But think about it. And then lastly today, as you heard, we're going to be blessing some ornaments for those who have gone before us this year and are indeed celebrating their first Christmas as they give thanks to their Savior in person for the victory that he won for them over death itself. So we honor them and celebrate them today during the offertory in particular. All that being said, pop quiz. What color is this?
Rose.
Yes, not pink. Rose. Not green either, just checking. But no, it's rose, because Father doesn't wear pink. Okay. Now, a few thoughts about today's liturgy. Gaudete, rejoice in the Lord. And the candle and the color change and everything to get our attention that we are on the very threshold of the victory of Christ, the coming of our Lord to meet us in our needs, to bring light into our darkness. And of course, John the Baptist is calling us out. He's reminding us, you need to do things, you need to change some things, you need to let go of some things that are impeding your heart from receiving him and from allowing his grace to have its effect. So we're getting ready for that, and I was with a friend yesterday, and he reminded me that we could talk about John the Baptist, but maybe people would, instead of hearing about some guy who got his head cut off, because that's how John the Baptist died for his Lord, they might like to hear about another event today. So Gaudete Sunday for me is really always a moving moment, because 6 years ago today was my first Mass as a newly ordained priest, so it's like an anniversary. It's my anniversary this weekend, so it's crazy. Okay. So I figured I would share a little bit in this vein, in that we say all the time, Lord Jesus, you came to gather the nations, you came one day, you will come in glory, and we'll celebrate then, but what about now? He is come, and he's very active, very, very present today, still calling. Sometimes you could consider Gaudete Sunday like the seventh inning stretch, you know? This is not before the game where the stats are telling you what might happen, and you might have the idea that you could win, but you don't know for sure. Nor is it after the game where you're reading the headlines that tell you, yes, you won, it's over, great job. You're in the middle of the fight. And sometimes you see another strikeout and something goes wrong and the team's not doing so well and you get nervous and you're like, "What? Are we going to win or not? I don't know. Doesn't seem like it." And yet he is come. Like even now he's with us in our struggle. Even now he's active and present and calling us. Attentive in our lives and very present. Even when I was in the fourth grade, we had a pastor who came and spoke to our class at Holy Name of Jesus School uptown. And I don't remember anything else that he said besides the fact that he had free housing, free food, and a free car. And I remember thinking, heck, I could do that. So the seed that was planted apparently before I was born just received a little bit of nourishment there. In the fourth grade, I thought about it, not quite seriously, but I thought about it. Fifth, sixth, seventh grade, I just totally let it go because I didn't want to be uncool. So the idea of being a priest was just the farthest thing from my mind. High school came along and I made a vow in the eighth grade year that I would not do a single thing to stand out from my faith because of other things that had been happening in those years. Kind of tough. But then my junior year, a lot of other things were happening deeper underneath the stuff. And I was involved with the Knights of Columbus a little bit, the Columbian Squires in high school. And I actually received an award when I graduated for spiritual leadership, which was pretty ironic at the time. At the same time, I remember my junior year, I was on a service project trip to Mexico that was pretty life-changing, and I came home ready to just put my priorities right, because up until then, my priority had been parents last, and then parents second to last, and just utterly last, family right below, you know, slightly above them, but still below zero, and then God somewhere down there too, and then friends, social life, success, etc. was more on top. And then after that mission trip, I was like, okay, I gotta change that. That's not good. That's not okay. And that resolve to change things, I came home, I broke up with my girlfriend, tried to focus on who I was and where I was going. That lasted for about a week. And back to school, back to the normal routine, but I was still kind of restless on the inside. Our Lord was constantly reminding me that I wasn't fulfilled there. I specifically remember a graduation party with my friends, and my girlfriend was there, and everything was going great. It was like super fun. And they were having a lot of fun, and I was like, just totally bored. I left the party, went in front of my car, laid down on the cement, and looked up at the stars, saying, Lord, why doesn't this fit? Why am I not enjoying it like everyone else is? What's going on? I remember being on a retreat that same year, and I found myself in front of a statue of the Blessed Mother, having a real strong sense that she was letting me know that maybe her son was asking me to be a priest. And my answer was, please don't ask that. I didn't say no, but I said, please don't ask that. I don't know if I could give up all those things. And long story short, a year later, I'm a freshman at Texas A&M. Yes, I know that's not always good news for LSU fans, but it was a good choice for me. And the Catholic Center there, the Catholic Church off campus, was beautifully active. Even the students were super into their faith like I had never seen before. And they were actually living the faith that my parents told me about. And I was like comfortable, and it fit. It was really a beautiful experience. I still remember the miracles of being a cadet in the Corps, you know, all the stuff that they would make us go through, and you're always thinking like, I'm never gonna make it through this, and you made it through. One thing about the cadet corps was that when you came home from your classes back to the dormitory every day, you would do more running and push-ups and screaming at you and everything else, which, you know, it's just so much fun. And the Catholic Church had a 5 p.m. daily mass. And thanks be to God, Texas is still kind of conservative Christian, and their core superiors, your upperclassmen, would respect you if you were doing something spiritual. They wouldn't give you a hard time. So I started going to daily mass every day at 5 o'clock so that I wouldn't have to go home and do the nonsense with the cadets. And God was doing things in my heart. And I was involved at the Easter Vigil that year. I helped somebody enter the church, and I stayed awake during the entire 3-hour Easter Vigil ceremony. And I remember specifically saying, Lord, what are you doing? Like, that's a miracle. Literally, I just felt like something powerful had just happened. And I remember standing outside the church that evening watching the associate pastor who had done the ceremony and just seeing the impact he had on so many people. And I remember thinking, finally, for the first time, well, Lord, I can imagine myself maybe as a priest, and I might even like it. And so the doors were just open a little crack. And shortly, like literally within a week, somebody called and said, Father, there's this pilgrimage, or Father Steve, there's this pilgrimage going to Rome. Do you want to go? I said, no, keep it to yourself. No, thanks. And somebody else took my name and put me on the waiting list, and I got to go to Rome as a freshman in college. Had a beautiful encounter with John Paul II and some really moving experiences that just continued to help flourish whatever was going on in my heart. And got home, I was invited to some spiritual convention that June in Indianapolis, July. I told my mom, can you keep it to yourself? I'm not interested. And then one of the priests who I'd gone to Rome with called me and invited me to the same thing. I said, sure, Father, why not? So I went to the spiritual convention, and I was invited to spend time with the candidates there who were about to enter into the novitiate for that religious order, the Legionaries of Christ. And I said, sure, why not? So I'm with them and had a few beautiful experiences happen that same weekend. It was July 4th weekend. I had packed the least I had ever packed. I was going for 2 days, I packed 2 changes of clothes, and that was it. And I didn't go home. My brother told my parents not to wait for me at the airport. I wasn't coming. I stayed with the candidates, got on the bus, and went into the novitiate in Connecticut, from Indianapolis to Connecticut. Entered the religious order, made my first promises, and my mom was nice enough to pack a large suitcase full of all the clothes that I owned and shipped it to me in Connecticut. Later, my parents told me how hard that was for them. They were remembering Jesus not telling his parents when he stayed in the temple while they kept going. And they were how Jesus' parents were very mad at him at the time, and my parents were very mad at me at the time. But we moved on, And I was so blessed. From Connecticut, I was there for a year, Mexico for a year, back to New England for several years. I started philosophy in New York again. I did a lot of internship time with youth and family work, administrative work, other things. Went to Rome, lived in Rome for 4 years, and then I was back to Manhattan for a year. All the while, every year, there was one or two miracles, one or two little amazing things that were happening to keep me aware that our Lord was saying, no, keep going. I know it's hard at times, but I'm calling you to this. Keep going, keep going. As you can probably relate to in your own vocations, in married life, etc. And so finally, on this day, 6 years ago, I was ordained at St. John Lateran Basilica in Rome with 40 of my peers. It was really a beautiful occasion. My whole family, with some help from friends, was able to be there. I still remember my first Mass was today at the tomb of John Paul II in St. Peter's Basilica. And I look around, at some point I turn to, like, offer this, because the altars are against the wall, and I turn to offer the sign of peace, like the priest does, and I see, like, even my brother-in-law is, like, in tears. Like, everybody was so moved in my family. I had no idea what God had been doing for them, even through my life. And as time goes on, it's amazing to realize what God was doing with that one call that started, especially when I was in the fourth grade. Even this one experience that I will never forget, flying from Atlanta back to New Orleans when I had first arrived here, and this guy on the plane says, "Father, I prayed that there would be a priest on this plane with me. Would you mind if we talk?" So we got to talk, and he, you know, a lot of things happened. We got to go to confession, whatever. But it was just like an affirmation, like my whole life, as much as these things had all been so many gifts to me, at the same time, God was making of me a gift and an answer to other people's prayers, which my sisters will tell you makes no sense at all. But he sure enough does. And I say that, all of that, only to help everyone see, like, it's so true. Like, our Lord is come and he is active and involved. And that candle flame, that light in the darkness, is each one of us, if we allow him room in our inn, room in our hearts. Allow him to call us into things, not being afraid to say, like our Blessed Mother will say next weekend, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word." I found myself many times thanking our Lord for not answering my prayers when I was in high school. For not saying, "Okay, sure, you can marry that girl, and yes, go have fun with your friends, and just be like everybody else, I'll answer that prayer for you too." He didn't answer that prayer. And so many people have thanked him and me for what he has done. And it's very humbling, because I know the mess I'm made out of. I'm always impressed since the Genesis story of God taking clay and making mankind, whatever that means, that God can do a lot with a piece of dirt. So give yourself to him and allow him to do whatever he wants. And allow our families to invite him in, not to be afraid of what might happen if my family is consecrated to our Lord and to his will and to his priorities. What could happen if my choices in life, of college, of high school, of grades, of friends and social occasions are decided with the first step of, "Lord, do you want me to go to this? Is this what you would like of me? Or Lord, what do you want of my life?" And help me to base my decisions on that. He will never be outdone in generosity. If you give him a few extra coins in the collection, you'll find a way that you're being given back to by him. If you give him a weekend of your time to go on a retreat and have a spiritual renewal, not for a few hours, but for a whole weekend, he will not be outdone. And if you give him your life or your family life, you will be amazed and awed and humbled to see what he does through that little candle that is you. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us, and thank you for so many miracles.